one town there, we shot up a cuckoo clock.
What was the story of that, the cuckoo clock?
The school kids love this story. When the teachers hear about it, they want to make sure I tell the kids about it. We are into this town, and we're all sitting at the kitchen table, which our favorite spot was a kitchen table in any of these homes. We drink our schnapps, tell jokes, and have fun. We had this one guy. He was standing over here, and he's looking at this cuckoo clock, cussing it. I told everybody, let's just be real quiet and see what he does. And he kept inching over to that cuckoo clock. And finally, one time when it come out, he grabbed the bird, pulled it out of the clock, threw it on the floor, and he pulled out his sidearm and he shot it. And he said, damn Nazi bird. And we just died laughing. And we wonder what those people thought when they came home and their cuckoo bird was splattered all over the floor.
Near the end of the war, didn't the Germans round up people and put them in buildings and burn the buildings?
Yep, because we were a breakthrough. They didn't know where we were a lot of times, the Germans. They didn't know how fast we were moving because there was breakthroughs, several of them all going at one time. The foot troops would follow. Our job, if we met resistance, to go around it and keep going to the rear, to shoot up the rail yards, the rail stations and all that stuff, the airports. They also told us you come into a town and you see a fire, you go to the fire directly, immediately, because they would put political prisoners, Jewish Holocaust victims that they were moving to another spot, and the animals, they put them all in a barn, lock it up and set it on fire with these people in there. Our job was to get to the barn and get them out. This one particular town, we got to the barn and we got them out. People are running in every direction. We had a duck and a rabbit that we got drunk once in a while and had fun with them. But the people got a hold of the rabbit and they start pulling it apart, trying to eat it raw. Some people say, well, what happened to the duck? I don't know. It got away somehow. While this was all going on, the people in the town who hated the SS, you know, Hitler's worst group of soldiers was the SS. Under Himmler, they were the ones that were doing a lot of this dirty work. They told us that there was an SS officer hiding in one of the barns, and so we got him out. He comes strutting out of there, and he says, I'm a colonel in the SS, and I demand to be treated according to the Geneva Convention. Private First Class Archer, with his name standing next to me, he hit this guy right in the mouth, knocked him down on the ground, and he leaned over, and he says, I'm just a PFC in the American Army. I don't give a damn about the Geneva Convention. You're going to do what we tell you to do. So we turned him over to the town folks because they were really mad. They were German. He was German, but he was SS. The next morning, he was laying on the side of the road in a ditch full of bullet holes, naked. As we're leaving town, we're looking down at him and say, great, that's the best thing. Be damned if he was going to go to the Geneva Convention and get three meals a day and be treated like a human being after he did those people that way.
He was burning barns, burning buildings.
Yeah, he's having his troops do that. Towards the end of the war, the German people more and more got rebellious against a lot of that type, not the Volkssturm, the People's Army that they forced into fight. Most of those guys, if they could, they gave up towards the end. They weren't dirty, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. But there were still a lot of those dirty groups around that would do things.
These years that you were in Germany, did you hear about the persecution of Jews in the Holocaust?
Oh, yeah. We had heard bits about it all along, just bits, because, you know, if you read the story about Roosevelt and World War II by Betzloff, they never pushed the Holocaust until much towards the end of the war. Morgenthau, secretary of, forgot which one it was, but he was one of his secretaries, kept telling him, this is going on and we need to talk about it, we need to let the people know. But Roosevelt really didn't do much about that or say much about it. There wasn't a lot of talk about it until we run into the camps themselves. You see, I lucked out this way. I saw these small camps and that, but when May the 9th came and the war was over, within a month, I was on the way home because I had enough points that I didn't stay there to go any further. I didn't go into Berlin like my outfit did. There was no more war when my outfit went in there. I was home on June the 13th, and the war ended up on May 9th. So that's how quick I got home after the war.
But you said you came up to some of these camps.
Yeah.
Persecution camps, and nothing was happening then. Everybody was cleared out by the time you got there.
Yeah. They were moving them, and the only one we ran into that was on fire is the one I talked about, because they'd already moved the others on to the next spot. they didn't have very many places to move them to because the Russians were coming from the other direction and we were coming from this direction. It got to the point, of course, where they had to just let them go and get out.
The Jews?
Yeah, they had to let the Jews and anybody in the camps go because they had some political prisoners they put in there, too, with them, people who done things that the party didn't like.
But you weren't near Auschwitz?
No, no.
That area?
No.
So then these camps were not like an Auschwitz that you came upon?
No,
they were
not.
They were just holding them there?
Right. Some of my guys that's in my group were at Nordhausen and Auschwitz and that, but I was not because I came home on points.